The following is an archive edition of Youth Speaks Out. I'm Dan Roberts, the show's producer. Since 2000, Youth Speaks Out has presented monthly shows covering topics important to our youth. The show is hosted by high school students in Mendocino County, California. You can listen to many hours of interesting programs in streaming audio at our website, youthspeaksout.net. Please check it out and tell a friend.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Mitzi Pearson, and
Caitlin Wiley,
and Paige Polson.
We are students at Laytonville High School. Laytonville High School, along with Anderson Valley High, took part in the Veterans History Project this spring. In 2000, the United States Congress created this project to preserve the remembrances of American war veterans and the civilian workers who supported them. These collections of first-hand accounts are archived in the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress for research and inspiration. The project compiles recollections of veterans who served in World War I, World War II, the Cold War, Korean War, Vietnam War, Persian Gulf War, as well as the Afghanistan and Iraq conflicts. Laytonville High School was invited to contribute to the project by Congressman Mike Thompson. 30 of our students interviewed 20 area veterans. All of this material was sent to the Library of Congress. Heading the project at Laytonville High was English teacher Rick Kale, along with Lindsay O'Neill from Healthy Start. Our media specialist Chris Shelton produced two DVDs of selections from the interviews, which is where we got the audio that we will play for you in a few minutes. Both the students and the veterans found the project educational, emotional, and a valuable communication across generations. The three audio clips that we will play for you are all from Vietnam veterans. It is good for young people to listen to the experiences of community members who have experienced being in war. These veterans talked about the lessons they learned from their service, as well as the after effects that still persist. Memorial Day was celebrated last week. The holiday was first observed as Decoration Day in 1865 to remember the fallen Union soldiers of the Civil War. Over time, the holiday has become Memorial Day, a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. Fortunately for our community, the three Vietnam veterans that we will hear survived the war. We thank them for letting us hear their stories. We will begin with Tom Evans, who was interviewed by Paige Polson and Shana Maxwell. Tom served in the Army, working in aircraft and flying combat missions.
How old were you when you went to war?
20.
20?
Mm-hmm. And were you scared?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
What were you scared of?
Dying. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know. You know, when you're that age, you got everything in front of you, and you think you're indestructible. And it just ain't that way. And my experience had all been from war movies about World War II and Korea. So you're watching it on, you know, it's just not real. But in our mind, we make it real. And the reality of it is you spend 99.9% of your time bored, stiff, but extremely scared, because you never know what's going to happen. You just never know. So being on edge like that kind of takes a toll, you know, stress. So that's been my experience. Every day, every night, it's there, and it never goes away. There's a song, I can't remember the artist. Excuse me. And I'm really not even sure of the title of the song, but it's about a Vietnam vet that came back and was dealing with the demons. And his statement in the song is that nobody should have the visions in their head that I do. Nobody. We, you know, that's not what humanity is about. But we decide to go the opposite direction.
So when you say demons, do you mean just the images that he had seen?
No, I think the demons are more the conflict that goes on inside of me all the time about what I did, my actions. And as I look back on it now, you know, I think, God, that was disgusting. They would send out inspection teams to look at these aircraft and make a decision. Are they going to go for repair to Japan, where Bell Helicopter and the military, the Army, had a big repair facility, or are they going to go back to continental United States, to Corpus Christi, Texas, or Pensacola, Florida, depending on the amount of damage done to the aircraft, to be rebuilt and then reassigned. Our original assignment was to facilitate the transportation of these inspection teams. So we were assigned to the Army Material Command at Cameron Bay. And supposedly we were just going to go out and fly around these teams. The military was always, always short of everything. So if we were not assigned to go look at specific aircraft, then we were an available aircraft if they needed to fill in some other mission, then we could be taken. So pretty much we spent most of our time flying combat assaults or combat support. They call it the fog of war, when all this stuff goes on and you kind of go on automatic and don't really understand. And I kind of, you know, kind of think that sort of applies. You know, you have your training, you know what you need to do, and if you're quick, you know instinctively what to do if the situation is beyond the scope of your training. And we called it field expediency, you know, knowing how to get your ass out of a situation that's really not in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to kind of go on instincts. Your experience and your instincts, and especially in aviation at that time, there was a whole lot of that.
That was Tom Evans speaking about his experiences in Vietnam. Paige, what did you learn and feel from interviewing Tom?
Well, when I interviewed Tom, he just being able to talk to him in person was an amazing experience. He has a lot of knowledge, and he taught Shayna and I both a lot. One thing that I took from interviewing him was the satisfaction of life and how much of a gift it is. Being able to talk to somebody who has had their life in jeopardy and been at the point of almost dying and having to hear about that, it's really sad, but it really makes you appreciate the life that you live and the fact that we as young adults get to make our own decisions and we don't have somebody or something like the military telling us what we have to do every second of the day. So that's something that we should cherish.
Next, we'll hear a part of the interview with Terry Wilcox, who served in Vietnam as a medic in the U.S. Air Force. Brett Harwood and I conducted this interview.
So how did you adapt to the Air Force life after, you know, growing up as a civilian, going to high school, straight out of high school, you?
Adaptation wasn't that difficult. It was more a mindset than anything else, and I understood the mindset after a while, after about 3 months. And so by the time I left Lackland, I was sort of, I guess as much as possible, I was in harmony with the way the Air Force did things. So yeah, I think I adjusted fairly well at that point. I was doing okay. I felt I was doing what they wanted, so that was all good.
What kind of relationships did you create when you were in the Air Force?
Some very good ones. Some of the people I worked with, some of the other medics, nurses, even some of the people that I went to medical school with, basic med, it was called, at Greenville, Mississippi. Good relationships, pretty much. There wasn't, in my experience, there wasn't time to dwell on negative aspects in relationships. And most of what I ended up doing as a medic, I learned by doing in what they call the OJT, on-the-job training. We pretty much worked alone on that shift. There was one more medic, but we each worked individually because there were so many casts that needed to be cut and medications that needed to be given and, you know, getting the guys ready so that they could sleep for a little while. That was the first place they'd been in a bed since they came to Vietnam. They were always on the ground in my facility because they were wounded again. Typically, a Lance Corporal that was 19 years old was the point man, and he was the one that hit the booby trap because he was usually at least 100 yards ahead of the main group. So he's out there by himself, and whatever there was out there, he would run into it first. And the other guys would be a little safer. Not a whole lot, but some. So typically that's the guy that I took care of, was that Lance Corporal, 19. He was always a little bit older and a little bit more experienced than everybody else in the unit. But there's certain things that nothing can help, you know. So yeah, it was a regular thing. That was the most common way of getting wounded in Vietnam. What we used to call the enemy did not want to kill us. They wanted to maim as many people as they could so that energy and expenses and manpower would have to be spent on all this work that we did, which I was part of.
That was Terry Wilcox. Mitzi, what stands out in your mind after hearing that interview with Terry Wilcox?
Well, after hearing him talk about his experience, we learned that every single veteran has to live with what they saw in the war or what they went through and what their friends went through. And that's so hard not to be negatively affected by all that. And they just, the rest of their lives, they have to live with the fact that they either killed someone or they saw someone being killed. And it's so hard to live through that and not be, like, wounded for life or, like, scarred.
Does that make you appreciate life more?
Yeah, it definitely made me think about how teenagers right now have it so easy. And you should really appreciate how easy your life is before you have to, like, go out in the world and either get drafted or do other things.
Yeah, have it taken away from you in a split second.
Mm-hmm. Next, we will hear part of the interview with William Womack, who served as a sergeant in the U.S. Army in Vietnam. William was interviewed by Caitlin Whiteley and Casey Notaro.
The hardest part was coming back home and the treatment we received from the American citizens. That was harder than the war. Well, when you're 18 years old and in the Army, you know, you're still like a high school student in a lot of ways. But you learn very fast, and the drill instructors help you learn very fast, that you have to get along and that petty differences aren't acceptable in the military. If you don't get along, you can't fight, and if there's no unit cohesion, you'll get beat.
What went through your mind, like, before, during, and after combat?
Well, you know, it's a little different. the first few weeks of combat, and once you get settled into it, what goes through your mind? Because I don't know anybody that wasn't scared to death for the first few weeks, if not months, until you became accustomed to what was going to go on. It's pretty hard to fall asleep the first couple of nights when you think you could die any minute. Well, I saw a lot of people doing things they would never consider possible. And that's one thing about the military and about combat, that you'll find that you have reserves of energy and stamina that you never thought you had. And as you get older and you go through life, it's hard to believe, but this combat experience helps you sort through a lot of the BS. After that, we transferred up to Camp Eagle and I Corps up on the North Vietnamese border to assault the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Laos. That was January, February, and March of 1971. And out of 600 helicopters, I think 500 were shot down or destroyed. So we didn't win that one. But our unit did receive some presidential citations for assaulting the Ho Chi Minh Trail, things like that. And because the whole idea behind that mission was to sever the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which was supplying supplies and men to South Vietnam.
How did it make you feel coming back and knowing that everybody's mad at you for going to war? Like, how did you cope with that?
A couple suicide attempts. Lots of alcohol. That's how I coped with it, and that's how most Vietnam veterans coped with it.
Happy to be home and know that you're safe?
No, I didn't feel safe. As soon as I came back from Vietnam, they took my best friend away from me that I had every day, 24 hours a day, an M60 machine gun. And now I have all these people coming at me with bad words and actions, and I don't have anything to defend myself.
Did you learn any important lessons that you still use today?
Yes. And I think the biggest lesson that I learned is my government will lie to me, it'll lie to you, it'll lie to everybody. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes I guess it's justified. It's not with me. And killing, you know, it's justified, I guess, in war, but you gotta live with it. And it's tough to do. Well, I just think this is, I wanna compliment you ladies for what you're doing here. And I think this is great. I think you're promoting patriotism and all kinds of good stuff. And you know, make lines of communication where there have been then,
yeah,
which is very important. And I've already discussed this with my BFW back in Garberville, and they said thank you very much from all the members there too.
That was William Womack. Caitlin, what insights did you gain by listening to William speak?
William taught me a lot about respect. I didn't have a lot of respect. Well, it's not that I didn't have respect for the veterans. It's that I didn't know how they were treated. But listening to William's story made me realize that they were never told thank you. He's never, ever heard those words in his life. He's heard words of hate and regret, but he's never heard the words thank you, and he's never had any respect. And it was important for me to personally say thank you. And, like, I don't get why people don't say thank you. He had his reasons for going into war, and it was a time that it was needed. It's not his fault for what the government was telling him to do. He was just doing what he was asked. And so I don't get why other people, like, don't understand that. It's their life, and they have their reasons to do things, and they do it for them, not for everybody around them.
Has that made you appreciate a lot more the, like, Army and Navy that's fighting for us right now?
Yeah, it's made me appreciate a lot more and realize what they're really doing.
But do you actually know what they're really doing, because the government does mask their events with lies?
I don't know, like, what they're doing, but I know that they're doing what they're told to do, and that's
that's all that they can do. That's all that they can help themselves to do.
Right. They have no choice, so we should respect it.
Yeah.
Did the veterans make you think that people your age are the ones fighting in the wars? Is that fair?
I'm sorry, will you ask that again?
Yeah. Did the veterans make you think that people our age are the ones fighting in the wars?
Did we understand that they were our age when they were fighting?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When I was interviewing Tom Evans, he stated that, or he asked us, can you imagine what it would be like seeing people die in front of your eyes and have nothing, you can't do anything about it? And when he asked me that, Shayna and I just sat there and we didn't have anything to say because we've never gone through that. And I can't imagine ever having to go through that. Being 18 and having to see someone die or taking the life of another person would ruin me.
The emotional stress that it has.
Right. I would probably cope with it the same way that Caitlin's veteran did because that's scary. I'm not sure how anyone could actually live through that experience and be sane.
And, like, Caitlin, do you think it's fair that the younger generations are leaving for war and the older people who have lived more and had longer lives are the ones that probably aren't risking their lives?
Everybody has a time that they are needed, and if the government or whoever needs the younger people, if they need those people, then I think that it's fair for them to serve. But people with more experience might be better adjusted, but I don't know, it could go both ways.
Yeah.
When I was interviewing Tom Evans, he had told me that if they were drafting men and women into the war that were over the age 50 and they took nobody else, there would be no war. And he said that they take the younger people in the world because at age 18 through 25, that's when you have your strongest sex drive. And that is the strongest hormone that you possess. So they take that sex drive and they twist it and convert it into a killing drive. And that's what the government does. And that's really scary. They're smart. That's the scariest part.
If you are a veteran or a family member of a veteran, we would like to hear what you think is important to remember about your service. If you are speaking to young people, what advice or insights would you share? What other kinds of things did you guys take from your veterans? Like, was it hard to listen to them at some point?
Caitlin, go ahead.
It was hard for me to hear William say that he had 2 suicide attempts. Like, that was really hard for me to, like, hear. And just to see him sitting in front of me, like, made me respect him and made me, like, proud to be interviewing him because, I don't know, I had the chance to do that.
Caller, you're on the air.
I'm so touched by this show. Thank you very much. It's wonderful to have younger people getting it and sharing this. You're just doing a beautiful job. I really appreciate it. My father's twin brother was a CIA agent, and he was an assassin. And I remember him. They were identical twins, and I remember the brother was a poet and a beautiful human being when I was a little boy. But I remember him getting his eyes very kind of closed, and his mouth got tight, and he got kind of a tension below. His whole body got a little bit pulpy. And it was so painful to watch what happened to him. And my father was also a veteran and had gone through war. And the hardening and the pain, and mainly it was these two wonderful men, my dad and his twin brother, they had a weight around them, like carrying secrets that they couldn't tell anybody. And it was so, the pain, you could almost feel, you could touch it, of holding those secrets so tight. So anyway, you're letting the secret out by having these kind of interviews, and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah. Some of your ideas fill me with a lot of sadness and distress. I think we need to include peace studies in our high schools. Because young people don't seem to have a clue what a criminal enterprise war is, and that it is never fought for the reasons stated, the phony baloney patriotism, and look what Nazi Germany did when they mobilized the majority of the population for persecution. And now the Israelis are doing the same thing to the Palestinians, the U.S., to the Afghanis. And when you find out what is actually going on, war is a criminal business. And yet, on the underside, the other side of war, we run this vast prison system, young people doing 10 and 20 years in some states for growing an herb, and nonviolent crime, something like 85% of the people locked up. Very small percentage are truly, truly dangerous to society. And what's the military backing? The military is abroad in the Middle East right now for the corporations, for oil, for trade routes, for competition with China and Russia over trade. I mean, this is something that I think is just shocking and appalling, that our young people aren't able to put war in the context of accurate history. And I don't mean a lot of the pap that's taught in the system.
Right. And caller, you mentioned that you think it would be better if peace was introduced in education.
Peace studies. Yeah, you can get a degree today. You can get an advanced degree in peace studies.
Yeah, and
they understand the economics and the politics. You look into, I mean, historically, of war after war after war, and you find that it's all lies and manipulations and money and greed. I mean, the war industry, one of the reasons we're in this huge depression is that the U.S. isn't manufacturing anything anymore but weapons and war. That's what we do.
Yes.
And we're destroying the planet in the process.
I completely agree with you. And I would just like to say that having the opportunity to do this Veterans History Project is, I think it is a way of teaching students about peace and letting them inside to know what the fighters went through, and hearing them say straight off that the government lies. That's really
right.
Strong.
That's right. And there's nothing romantic about war. It is hell out there.
Yes, it is.
I had a friend who just died from cancer from the Agent Orange.
Oh, my condolences.
He came back with all kinds of decorations and blah, blah, blah. You know, he threw his decorations away. He didn't want his silver stars and his bronze and all those stars. And he threw it all away.
Right. And thank you so much for calling in. We loved hearing your opinion.
Thank you. Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That was an archive edition of Youth Speaks Out. I'm Dan Roberts, the show's producer. Since 2000, Youth Speaks Out has presented monthly shows covering topics important to our youth. The show is hosted by high school students in Mendocino County, California. You can listen to many hours of interesting programs and streaming audio at our website, youthspeaksout.net. Please check it out and tell a friend. If you have questions or comments, send us an email through the website, youthspeaksout.net, or write to Dan Roberts, P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. This program is free to rebroadcast upon notification. Thanks for listening.